Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. This is Saturday, May 9th, 2009. And tonight we're going to be interviewing Dr. Mitchell Gibson, his medical doctor, author of the book The Living Soul, and his new paperback book, The Human Body of Light. And I'm really excited to have Dr. Mitchell Gibson on today. I've read his book previously, The Living Soul, years ago, actually, and I'm really intrigued with some of the new work he's doing today. I've got links on the Cosmic Love website at BBS Radio to several of his different websites, and specifically, one thing we're going to be talking about today, his work with the sounds from stellar sources, and we'll be going into that. We were going to play the clip, an audio clip here at the beginning of the show, but I've included those websites where you can listen to them yourself, or YouTube websites. One's called the Giant Star Meditation, and the other one's called the Miracle Prayer. And you can click on those links and listen for yourself. We're going to be talking about that. Dr. Gibson, are you there?
I'm still here.
Hi, Mitchell.
Hello.
Well, I wanted to begin by saying that for those who aren't familiar with your work, and I've given a kind of a compendium of your art, your writings, different links to your YouTube videos that you've done, and some of your favorite videos, a couple of your favorite videos that I watched, YouTube videos. I mean, they're short, 6-7 minute videos. Really intriguing stuff. But I wanted to begin with what really awakened me to your work, and I'm sure it was an awakening for you, you know, the true story of your experience as a medical doctor, psychologist. And for those who haven't read the book, The Living Soul, I'd like to begin with that because it's really the beginning of a whole new dimension of your work as a psychiatrist, I understand, mm-hmm. and to the point where you virtually became a parapsychologist, didn't you? Which is really,
go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, it's really, when I look at the compendium of your work you've done since then, I know that was a life-changing experience for you, and I know, reading the book, it was, I'm sure it was a life-changing experience for a lot of people who've read it. Who may have known that there was these dimensions of the psyche and the soul, and I really awakened to that reading your book, and I'm sure it put a little wind in your sails.
It did. When I wrote the book in 2003, it was, for me, really a purging of a lot of experiences that I'd had over the better part of 20 years that I had kept to myself.
Uh-huh.
When I was in my residency, and also when I was in the early years of my practice, I had started out, I was running a hospital, I had bought a clinic, I had other doctors and nurses working with me and under me, and I was just like any other psychiatrist. But I noticed that whenever patients came to me, there were entities that came with them that would talk to me as much as a patient would. And at first I said, you know, this is kind of strange. But as I incorporated treating the patient and the entity, people got better faster. And I realized that there was a spiritual component to mental illness that wasn't even being discussed at all in psychiatry and medicine, that I was already just being thrown into head first. And that was really the awakening for me, the initiation, the fact that the universe had seen fit to say, you know, this isn't normal, but you're going to learn this. And I didn't really have a choice in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm convinced that the world is going through those kind of changes now, very quickly, to where a lot of people are awakening to the fact there's a lot more behind the scenes. The powers that be of a light and dark nature.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, they're, you know, spiritual beings and discarnate entities, and you know, the whole gauntlet. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot more people are ready to, you know, to understand this and discover what tools are available. And that's something I was really hoping to talk with you about today. Now, I know you provide some really interesting tools, and a lot of it is, I you know, from what I understand, I mean, inspiration can come from a lot of sources, but when it gets into dealing with these energies, I'm, you know, I think it's safe to say that we all are dealing with or need to learn to deal with, you know, what's going on the other side of the veil, especially as the veil is thinning and it's becoming more self-evident that there's energies.
Absolutely.
That have a certain intelligence. There's the higher
paradigm that paradigm that I like to use is, there was a time when we thought that illnesses like tuberculosis or pneumonia were caused by demons, and then we discovered the microscopic world.
Yeah.
And with that, we understood that there were beings we couldn't see, but nevertheless, they were the agents of disease. And then we discovered that if you treated them, the disease went away. And
yeah.
Now I think we're on the verge of discovering that there's a macroscopic world beyond the physical that isn't necessarily visible, but it's an energetic world that has the same effect on us as radio waves would or radiation from outer space. There's a world out there of energy that we're just beginning to define,
just
but in ancient times they had names for it.
Yeah. Well, I've had three holistic health centers and worked with a lot of holistic practitioners, and I've seen how the paradigm of modern medicine is shifting from the chemistry of disease to the energies of health.
Mm-hmm.
And that the bioenergetics of this quantum universe, you know, the energy universe, and we know that everything is energy,
exactly.
Is becoming more of a recognized reality. And of course, dealing with it, we're still the mechanical universe model, you know, the chemistry, the physical chemistry of disease and microorganisms, without any regard to, again, these energies. It's still deeply entrenched. It's got old momentums, but there are breakthrough, you know, principles, processes, and tools that. I mean, I worked with quantum biology a lot, and electrodiagnostics, mm-hmm. ultramolecular medicine, homeopathy, and I mean, it's well proven. You know, the empirical record of how homeopathy works, that there is, you know, energetic properties that, you know, it's quite amazing how effective homeopathy was. I think, you know, it was really well recognized 100 years ago, and it was mostly economics and politics of drug pushers that put them out of business.
Absolutely. Dr. Hahnemann was way ahead of his time with energy medicine, and he just didn't have the political clout to beat out the allopaths.
That's exactly right. They organized in response to the homeopaths, I understand.
That's right.
My former doctor, when I was raising children back in Ohio, was the former president of the National Center of Homeopathy, Dr. Masaman Panos.
Hmm.
And I went to many of her lectures, and boy, was that a wake-up. and as I delved into the history, one of my favorite books is World Without Cancer by Everett Griffith, and he gets into the whole history of what happened with the drug chemical cartels and how they basically organized and financed 1,100 medical schools across the country with pharmacology at the core of the curriculum, turning out drug pushers ever since.
Well, that's one of the things about medicine. Even though I have kept my license and even though I still, you know, have my medical training in my background, when I was working in medicine, I really was just impressed by the fact that 95% of what I was doing was writing prescriptions.
Yeah.
When a patient came in to see me, most of what I was doing was trying to figure out how to give them a pill and which pill to give them.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any evolution in my thinking or diagnostic process or any inclusion in the fact that there was an energy mechanism behind the process of their disease. I was just being trained and pushed into which pill and how much.
Yeah.
And so that at the end of the day, I looked back at all my patients, and I had a stack of prescriptions.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I felt like a trained monkey. But, you know,
yeah.
in no disrespect intended, this
yeah.
isn't what I took organic chemistry for and that hard physics and stayed up on call all those years to write prescriptions all day. I didn't
yeah.
do that. I just couldn't do that anymore.
Well, I think that's why I really believe that is going to change. And I think it's happening kind of from the inside out. I like your work, your reference to the DNA and what's going on with the I love that one reference
mm-hmm.
video you have that I put up on the website regarding the light body development in DNA. And
the light body development, there's some really good, very intriguing work going on with that. And some of it actually was some of the best work actually was being done by a physician or a researcher by the name of Colm Kelleher, who was at the National Institute for Discovery Science, used to work with the government. And he has actually found a chemical enzyme or a series of enzymes that are linked to the transformation process in humans.
Uh-huh.
He has found a way to quantify how evolved people are along the process of transforming their body into light. He did a brilliant paper called Retransposons in Human Bodily Transformation, where he can take a sample of a person's blood and determine how evolved that person is spiritually.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just fascinating stuff. Some of his initial work was done on some supernatural phenomenon he worked on in some Indian reservations. And from that, he gathered a lot of information and data on people who had experiences with bodies of light and UFOs and a number of different things. And he determined that there were certain definable changes that happen in your blood as you evolve, and that there are certain markers on the white blood cell that he can measure and tell a lot about a person's spiritual evolution.
Wow.
And it was that kind of research that told me that there are a number of things that we just don't know about evolution and DNA and the body that we really need to look into. And that was one of the things that really made me just quit doing what I was doing, because I needed to do something to use more of
yeah.
my mind.
Well, I know you're doing a lot of seminars around the world, and really interesting I work with interesting people. Gene Savoy, I guess, is one of your mentors. And what a fascinating guy. Man, remember reading a lot of his material, and this whole thing of the sun and how the sun carries intelligence and how you can, there's ways that you can look at the sun, you know, when the sunrise and sunset, and really tune into the frequencies of, and of course, I've read a lot about solar healing and how it's
mm-hmm.
amazing how the light, well, I know the light carries intelligence, and this brings me back to that concept of the DNA as a tuning fork or a resonant, you know, the light body matrix, how it's kind of anchored in the DNA, and how we shape our environment, and the environment then shapes us,
That's
our
right.
DNA.
That's right.
And, of course, then it comes back to which frequencies, which tools providing which frequencies can create a harmonic resonant, you know, harmonic resonance on a DNA level that upgrades or otherwise reboots the DNA. That subject fascinates me.
When I work with my students, and we have two different levels of instruction that we offer students now, the main thing that I want to impart to them is that this is not a course that's designed to improve your intuition or your psychic ability. We're in the work of human evolution.
Right.
And that if you do the work, if you work with the sun and work with the meditations we've given you, you will evolve. And that's what we're seeing with our students. We're seeing them do just really phenomenal things with their evolution and with their ability to interact with the universe.
Yeah.
And that's the focus of my work. That's what gets me up in the morning.
Well, I'm on the same path. I really believe that the business of evolution is the evolution of business, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the evolution of business on the planet is got to get back to the business of evolution as a core principle, and how to culture intelligence in our DNA and in our social networks, you know, social conscience in our social networks. It's a huge phenomena with the internet, with this interactive, instant, everywhere, you know, connection,
mm-hmm.
with knowledge power all over the planet. And of course, the interface for all that is our consciousness, our awareness, and our DNA, which imprints the frequencies of the environment that, you know, we provide it, and then of course it resonates back what we feed it. And
I think somewhere along the line on our world, we've gotten somewhat behind in where we should be in evolution. We should be colonizing space by now.
Yeah.
We should have a culture that interacts with other civilizations on a daily basis. We should be educating children in multiple languages before they leave the home. But
yeah.
Except now, we're still functioning at, I think, what is a survival level. We still worry about where's your rent going to come from. We still worry about the economy. We still haven't healed major diseases. For some reason, I think we're behind where we should be.
And oh, yeah.
Part of that is I think we have allowed certain powers that be to have power over our evolutionary process. And
yeah.
I think part of the working with the sun and working with the star meditations and working with some of the work and some of the scientists I'm working with, I think it's time for us to begin to look at how we can resume our evolutionary process.
Well,
and not let it
I
be
think,
defined by the few.
I think that the dynamics are changing from a top-down, highly centralized command and control civilization to a bottom-up, decentralized, instant everywhere, grassroots or netroots awakening. And I think
mm-hmm.
I really believe that there's energies with this 2012 timeline that are accelerating that is basically rebooting DNA and consciousness. And people are awakening, and some people are awakening to real contempt to, you know, these powers that be that are holding
mm-hmm.
back, you know, free energy technology, holistic healing breakthroughs, and the potential of social conscience in our social networks, you know, from a front page MySpace kind of a social network to a more interactive interface that has the language of consciousness itself in the interactive interface nexus, and how that works. I've written a lot about, you know, the next big thing or evolution of the computer internet revolution, you know, where that's going, and it's evolving in that direction where I call it information's ecology, recycling general knowledge to generate specific wisdom. And a lot of that's happening, you know, more and more is coming out with people, you know, awakening and giving clear visions of how things can be, or, you know, with the new technologies of, you know, holistic energy medicine with, you know, free energy tech. I mean, they got cars in production in Japan that are running on water.
Yeah. BMW has an electric car. So does Mercedes. But
yeah.
We'll never see it.
But, you know, I know two people that worked with the water fuel cell on their own and were driving all the way across country just putting water into their, you know, the fuel tanks, you know, with super electrolysis that breaks down the hydrogen and the oxygen, the H2O, and recombines it. And the only byproduct of combustion is, you know, water that trickles out the tailpipe.
Right. Right.
and all this is coming out, and there's a huge tension right now because the so to speak powers that be are losing ownership and control, and that's 90% of the law according to, you know, most of the laws that they go by. And so there's a lot of tension right now, and I think that probably the best that we can do is, you know, all that we can do is basically give an upbeat vision of how it's the changes in process. And, you know, I can't, I'm not into forecasting, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's just there's a huge drama right now with forces of light and forces of darkness. And, man, I wish there was a way we could just exercise the power elite of their discarnate.
I think that problem will take care of itself. We're looking at a future where
it'll
be more democratic in the processes of knowledge.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, I really believe that there is an invisible hand. I've seen it enough times in my life. I'm sure you have too.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a higher intelligence and overruling intelligence, an all pervasive intelligence. And sometimes I think we're like reality TV for the ETs.
We certainly could use all the help they could get. They could give us,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, and I know there's a principle here that, you know, the prime directive, you know, man has free will, so anything is possible. And I think that's a lot for a lot of people, just for them to see the possible, you know, dimensions of the possible. And this is one of the reasons I really got excited about your giant star meditation, which is that link I've got on the Cosmic Love website that they can go to, the YouTube meditation. We were going to, like I said, play that clip today, but I guess they've got some technical difficulties there with you.
I think that's just a beautiful meditation. Hear the sound of a giant ancient star that's communicating with us like that. That's just magnificent.
That's magnificent. And I was listening to that and reading about that, and I was tuning into something I was in the Ascended Master teachings for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Elizabeth Clare Prophet often referred to, you know, the stars as the great causal bodies of cosmic beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as I was listening to this, I was just kind of tuning into how this was the signatures or the heartbeats or the frequencies emanated by these great cosmic beings in the universe. And now you picked certain stars that... and which are the ones in the giant star meditation?
Well, the giant star meditation is a frequency of one giant red star that's in the Beta Hydri system, which is several hundred light years from here. It's a very large red giant. If you were to place our sun beside it, it would be like placing the head of a pin beside a watermelon.
Wow.
It's a huge star. I mean, it's just... We don't really have a good understanding of the scale of how much bigger this is than the sun. But it puts out a tremendously powerful radio signal that if it was turned into sound waves, it would deafen all life on this planet.
Wow.
It's that loud and it's that powerful, coming from that many hundreds of light years away. So if you really just think about the scale of power that it would require for that kind of energy, it's almost unimaginable. The ancients used to talk about the music of the spheres and how the stars talk about and communicate energy from one galaxy to the next, from one star to the next. And sure enough, scientists all over the world are finding that stars sing, that stars
they,
have
the
a
stars
sound.
Sing, music of the spheres.
They do have a sound, that the intelligence of stars put out multiple types of songs or multiple types of sounds, and that we're just beginning to decipher the complex mathematics within those sounds. So there's a tremendous amount of intelligence being emanated by stars that we used to just think was just gas and dust and heat and electric energy. It's a lot more than that. There's intelligence there that we're just beginning to appreciate. And the giant star meditation is one of the most evolved sounds that we've ever deciphered from Earth.
Wow. And what is the criteria for evaluating the evolution of the sounds?
Well, there's a new field that began about 10 years ago called astroseismology, which is the study of seismic activity in stars. And when something as large as a star creates motion, it creates electromagnetic waves, including microwaves, gamma waves, and radio waves.
And radio
waves put out a specific number of frequencies, just like a radio station here on Earth. They put out different types of sounds that we can then pick up with the radio receiver. Space, you can't propagate sound waves in space. There's no air there. It's a vacuum. But you can radio waves are self-propagating, which means that when you pick them up, you're picking up sound that has been generated hundreds of years in the past. In some cases, billions of years in the past.
Astroseismology, they call it.
Astroseismology.
It's a new science.
Brand new field.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is truly amazing. And one thing they're discovering is that the mathematics required to decipher the sounds is almost beyond what our computers can handle. So these things
probably algorithms
are not just gas and dust. The algorithms are just incredible. And
yeah.
The reason I picked the giant star meditation is when I listen to it, I've been looking at stars and taking in starlight and sunlight since the late 1980s.
Uh-huh.
And I have been able to understand a lot of the energy from the sun and some of the nearby stars, but the Beta Hydri system and a number of the other systems, I can't see those with my naked eye. But we can see those with radio telescopes. And it's one of the systems that puts out the clearest, strongest, most powerful complex signal that has a positive effect on human consciousness. Not all stars have a positive effect on consciousness. Some of them are downright destructive. This is one of the ones that has a very powerful evolutionary, constructive influence on human consciousness.
Wow. So how is this distinct, the giant star meditation, from the, you have another YouTube video called The Miracle Prayer. And what planetary system is involved there?
Well, the Miracle Prayer is actually an ancient Aramaic prayer that encoded the creative holy name of God.
Okay.
And that prayer was part of the impetus that took me out of medicine. When I was probably the early part of this decade, in 2001, 2000, I was working in my clinic, and I had just learned this prayer from a rabbi that I worked with in Los Angeles. And I prayed it over a man who had cancer. And the next week, the cancer had disappeared. This man was scheduled for chemotherapy, radiation. It was stage four invasive cancer. It had gone to his bones, his brain, his lung, everything. After I prayed over his body one time with this prayer, it disappeared.
Now, is this
and
an
since
Aramaic?
Then, that sort of thing has happened. It was in ancient Aramaic.
Ancient Aramaic.
That's right. It's the Aramaic is the precursor language to Hebrew.
So it's right after Sanskrit, or it's one of the original
Sanskrit would be derived from the Indus Valley in India. Aramaic is derived primarily from the Middle East.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So they're both ancient languages.
Ancient languages.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the language, of course, Yahshua used.
That's right.
Now, I've known for some time that the power of the spoken word, the science of the spoken word has powerful, can have powerful healing powers.
It does.
So in this meditation, the miracle prayer, you have the Aramaic words and you also have sound in the background. I think you use rain or a storm kind of to add to it. And is there any?
That's right.
So there's no planetary spheres or star energies in that one.
We have two versions of that prayer. In the first one, the original version, there is a rainstorm and there are EMDR tones, which is a special type of healing modality that's used to treat trauma. There are those sounds that are added to that initial prayer. In
uh-huh.
the updated version, we call it the special edition, there is an extra matrix of sounds, actually two matrices of sound, one related to regenerative energy and another related to a blue-white giant star.
A blue-white
giant
star.
And both of those matrices are combined with the EMDR and the rainstorm to make it probably one of the most powerful healing tools you can find.
Wow. That'd be great.
We just released that within the last month.
That would be great to play while you're getting, massive therapy or, massage or just on the table, as the background music.
We just had a man who wrote us actually a couple days ago This man had, let's just say, a chronic progressive disease. We won't name what it is because I don't want to sound too fantastic with it. But he had been playing, he had been suffering from this. He was totally disabled, and he wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to really support himself. And he got a copy of the Miracle Prayer as a gift, and he started playing it about 6 months ago. And he played it every day during the day, and he played it at night while he slept. He wrote us yesterday and said his disease is gone.
Really?
And he is now able to work. He just signed a contract to do what he does with his career. And he was calling, writing us to say thank you for putting this out.
I never met this man.
He just used the sound of the prayer.
Really? Now, this is a chronic degenerative disease?
That's right. That's right.
Really? Amazing.
We've had a number of cases not only with people but with animals that will sit next to the speakers while the sound is playing, and they will just listen to it for hours.
I bet cats love it.
We had one lady that put a testimonial for us, just totally unbidden, up on Facebook, where her dog had a really bad bout of a cancer that had affected his brain and the rest of his body. And she played this prayer for the dog, and after 2 days, the dog was healed.
Really?
Totally healed. She put that up on Facebook. So it is really the sound of that energy, now combined with the sound of the star energy, is really the first true healing tool I've seen that's going to make a difference in some of these processes we've seen. It's really phenomenal.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, that's really exciting.
And it's only 1995.
Yeah. Oh, no, seriously. Well, I've included your website, Tyro Productions, Tyro.com, T-Y-R-O.
Mm-hmm. T-Y-B-R-O.
T-Y-B-R-O, Tyro.com. And Tybro, and there's a lot of information there of different things you've done, really interesting stuff. I'm really, where you're coming from, you know, from your book, The Living Soul, and I guess you've got an updated, that's in print now again. I guess it was out of print for 3 years.
That's right. We printed it with in combination with Amazon. So it's now, we just put it on our website, and we just released it through Amazon exclusively.
Oh, that's great. And that in your other book. Which I'm really, and I hope you talk a little bit about your other book that's come out,
The Human Body of Light.
The Human Body of Light. I put a picture of the cover of that book on the Cosmic Love website, and I've got links there that they can go and read about that. What's the story behind that? Basically, I know you had that an online book that you could order it on, you know. An e-book version of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you've just got that in paperback now also.
That's right, that's right. There was a story that inspired me that occurred in 1996 about a man who was an anthropologist from Stanford University, a brother Francis Tissot, who was given an email and a phone call about a priest in Tibet that was in the process of transforming himself into light. Well, Brother Teese was skeptical, of course, but he got a grant from an institution and went to Tibet. And for about 6 months, he witnessed the process of people transforming their bodies into light. And one of the stories that he wrote was about one particular monk, Kenpo Achos, that he witnessed the body after the monk had passed gradually disappear, turn into energy, and then the monk would then reappear as an energy being to the group of researchers that were there and talk about his experience. Well, that
really
floored me. You know, this is a Stanford anthropologist writing about this, and then I saw it in Discovery Magazine, and it was all over the net, but it didn't make our Western press. Except
really?
For Discovery Magazine, you wouldn't know it was there. But it was a documented sighting. There were a number of people that were there, and then I discovered that there have been over 100,000 cases of individuals that have gone through this training and dissolved their bodies into light. And that was the impetus of me writing the book and some of the techniques that they use. And I found that it's not only in Tibet, but it also happened in India, Malaysia, in Europe, and also in some of the North American continent and the South America and Central America. It's a worldwide phenomena that has been kept underground.
Wow, that's amazing.
The human body has this potential.
Yeah. Well, so we came from the light and we're going back, and what would you say, accelerate the process?
Well, the human body is primarily energy. There was an article online today called The 10 Great Mysteries of Science. And one of the 10 was the fact that the human body and the universe is only 4% matter that we can describe as matter. The other 96% is something that we can only describe as dark energy. We don't know what it is. We don't know how dark energy and regular matter fit together. But the reality is that most of what we see and touch is not made out of atoms. It's made out of some kind of energy that we don't have a good name for. Well, it means that we live a sort of a hairline existence between energy and matter, and that with certain techniques, the human body can be made to transform.
That's amazing.
If you look in our science fiction and our mythologies, you see these discussions of this all over the place. You see gods and goddesses transforming their bodies from energy into matter.
And saints, but you've got Western saints. You got Western saints like Pablo Pio, and he was always bilocating. And
that's
then you
right.
Got East,
that's right.
And you got Eastern saints like Babaji. He was always appearing and disappearing to different people.
And you see the South America Quetzalcoatl. I mean,
Quetzalcoatl,
yeah. And, I mean, you even in our science fiction mythology, you have a whole show that was on the air for 10 years about a race of beings that roamed the galaxy after they transformed into light, Stargate. The ancients who built the Stargate were humans that turned into light.
I love that show.
Yeah, me too. So there's something in the consciousness that remembers this phenomenon, so that it's not just something that's far-fetched and out there. Part of us knows this is possible.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of people are awakening to there's dynamics here that, you know, that are coming out. And, of course, people are attracted to, light, it's like the law of homeopathy, the law of similars. The more light you have, the more light you get, it's like the more light is like the mantra of the path of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really fascinated with the different dimensions of this. When I say this, how the different aspects of light and consciousness and dimensional shifting and culturing consciousness within our social networks, and focusing on the solution that resolves the problems, rather than focusing on the problem that you become part of through your, through attention in that regard. So, tools and processes that that help the process. I mean, I'm really intrigued now in your videos. I mean, I'm in your the YouTube videos and your CDs. Now you have these on CDs: Giant Star Meditation and the Miracle Prayer.
That's right. They're available through our website. They're available through Amazon. You can call by phone and get them. You can download them. One of the things that I like to teach whenever people come for seminars is that the energetic part of our bodies has the capacity not only to evolve, but to sustain the physical aspect of who we are. And that in the physical world, we're only taught to sustain the physical body. Mostly we're taught the four basic food groups, proteins,
right,
carbohydrates, vegetables, and dairy products. But in the energy world, there are also four basic types of energy we need to sustain the energy body, which has to do first with light, which is available in different formats and sources, sound, which we can get, color, which is available in many different areas, and also symbols. So when you learn to take in the light in a certain way from the sun, and you learn to take in color in a certain way, and you learn to use sound, and you learn to use symbols and mandala, you can evolve hidden aspects of the human body, the human psyche, or the human genome that are dormant. And that's what our research focuses on, using those energetic basics to help awaken that part of us that sleep. And the Giant Star Meditation is one of those sound meditations that can act as, let's just say, a type of food for the part of us that is dormant.
So Is there a hierarchy here, like spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical? Does the light correspond to the spiritual, the color, the mental, the sound, the emotional, and the symbols, which we're talking about the archetypes? I guess they would. That relates more to the mental, doesn't it?
Actually, probably the easiest way to understand them is that they're quite literal. Light, we're talking about, there is a part of us that actually needs the energy of sunlight to evolve.
Yeah.
That if human beings take in sunlight now and we turn it into chemicals that we need to regulate our sleep-wake cycle, we use light to transform melatonin into certain things.
Right.
Sound is an actual type of energy that we also need. If you deprive a human being of sound, it begins to affect their mental stability and sanity. Color is something that we also need. We know that from research in colors from the 70s and from many other different cultures, color affects how a person feels. It affects how their body functions. It affects metabolism. Well, color has many other functions that go way beyond just the psyche. And, of course, symbols. Symbols are how we categorize and stabilize consciousness. We use words. Words are symbols. We use geometry. We use numbers. Those are symbols. Well, there are different types of geometries and symbols that we can use to evolve consciousness far beyond just what we could with words and math.
Like the Tibetan and the Hopi sand paintings, which are all mandalic, like Yom Tov.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are two-dimensional representations of symbolic images that feed the higher functions of the brain. Those are good examples.
The color, you know, I've thought a lot about. They're referring to a lot of, you know, the American public is becoming autistic. And they call it full spectrum disorder. And it's like there's a full spectrum of consciousness of course, light is the full spectrum. And I know there's intelligence in light, you know, full spectrum light, that perhaps is that, you know, all those colors of the rainbow. But I've studied a lot about color healing and the different frequencies of the different colors. And the influence, and there's a wide body of research on that. Of course, they've pretty much outlawed energy healing in the medical world with light and sound. Although at the same time, it's being increasingly recognized. But I've wondered about this full spectrum disorder they refer to as autism, and what it is. Of course, in our environment, that causes that besides vaccines and the obvious, but there's a numbing and a dumbing effect, I think, with certain discordant sounds. Of course, they've done a lot of research with music with plants, The Secret Life of Plants. You know that book, and about how rock music will cause plants to wither and die, versus classical music gives them, you know, symmetry and growth.
Right.
I guess there's a qualifier in each of those, you know, color, sound, and symbols. There's the high end and the low end.
Of course. But when you learn which ones help and which ones hurt, there are things in the body that just wake up in a fantastic way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really exciting to me. So really what we're talking about is the key to integrity is integration of all the keys.
That's right. Absolutely.
And this is what you go into in your workshops, in your seminars?
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's fascinating.
We give a number of seminars that are designed to be a basic introduction to some of the work that we're talking about. Because I recognize that this is a stretch for a lot of people. I recognize that we have been dumbed down to a certain extent. When we go to a metaphysical seminar, people tend to look for what they tend to already believe and understand. And stretching themselves is something that not a lot of people are willing to do. But if they do, they can find that there's a great deal you can learn and grow from that has nothing to do with what you already understand, if you're willing to look for it, if you're willing to accept something that you don't already know.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are waking up to these other, you might say, tools.
I find that even with spiritual seminars, there's a lot of dumbing down there, too. There's an overabundance of intuition and metaphor and just sacred dance, that sort of thing. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of real meat that you can look at and say, I can use this to help myself evolve. Not
yeah.
enough of that.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, I sure would love to have you up to Montana here. This area has got there's just a lot of spiritual communities up here within this area of Southwest Montana.
Montana has always struck me as being one of the most free states in the country as
yeah.
far as thinking.
And a lot of people have moved here in that regard. You know, we're coming near the end of the show. We're going to have to do a wrap. Dr. Gibson, I would sure love to have you on again.
Well, whenever you like, just give me a call and I'll be glad to be there.
Well, I will be in touch, and I hope everyone's got as much out of the show as I have, and we'll look forward to talking with you again.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and thanks to everyone for listening.
Okay.
Catch you all in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the lightworkers who are lovemakers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.